Okay, so we are here in middle of nowhere. Where are we? Which place? Yeah, what the place are?
We can't really give away too many names. People will see the photos of the amazing fish and they'll all be camped right here next time we come back.
yeah, it's true. Anyway,
we're here in the South Island.
South Island, for me, the very first time.
Yeah, I'm stoked that you could make it here. I'm stoked that I had 2 days off
yeah.
my guiding season to coincide with your arrival. So
yeah, I am so happy that you made it, that you have the time for me. Anyway, my name is Igor Slavik. I am doing podcast Naviak. It means in Czech language reel. I mean fishing reel. And my guest today is Cory Scott, my brother from another mother. Hello, Cory. Nice to see you again.
Yeah.
And for the very first time on South Island.
Yeah, so you've been 5 times before and you've been up north with me.
Yeah, it was always a wonderful time. But this is something special because it's much tougher.
Mm-hmm.
And you are doing here your guiding service.
Yeah.
So I want today speak about your guiding experience, about your guiding business. How long do are you doing this business?
I've been guiding 22 years now.
22 years.
22 years.
But I mean full time.
Full time, I've been guiding 4 years.
4 years.
Yeah.
Whew, quite a long time.
I've just slowly increased the volume every year, and whether you know it or not, when I was younger, I used to make surfboards.
Uh-huh.
And I had my own surfboard building business.
You know, maybe we will put the your microphone on other side because you are looking at me all the time. Yeah, mm-hmm. Good. So you are making surfboards?
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's okay. I will leave it like this.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's
loose and vague.
Yeah, we are on holidays. For you, 2 days.
Yeah, so I used to...
For me, 1 month.
I used to make surfboards when I was younger.
Okay.
And I had my own business. And it got to the point where my photography became 50-50. And I was moonlighting. I was building surfboards all night long, 4 a.m., sleeping for 2 hours, driving places, taking photos all day, coming back, working all night. And I had to decide. It came a point in my life where I had to decide because it was kind of 50-50 and I loved them both.
Mm-hmm.
And now the guiding is kind of the same. It became almost 50-50 with my photography work.
Mm-hmm.
To the point now that I just decide. After COVID was a massive game changer. So that affected a lot of my other business pursuits.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guiding I picked up
mm-hmm.
more full time. So before that, I was still doing a lot of days a season, but you wouldn't say that's the only thing I was doing because I was had my
mm-hmm.
photography business at the same time.
So, and how it works? Because you said that you have some agent who are taking care about your dates.
Yeah.
Because you are, if you are here for 1.5 months, you are totally, not totally, but some days totally without reception. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't answer some emails and this. So how it works?
That's an interesting one. And that's basically where... So my agent's name is Nans Kirkpatrick, who's Mike Kirkpatrick from wife. And she's from Southern Latitude Guides. So she now has a team of guides underneath
her. So this famous guide also, he's also guiding.
Yep.
I know the name.
Yep. So Mike and another guy, Hans, Blair, it's a good team of guides under Southern Latitude Guides. And Nans is the engine room.
Mm-hmm.
She takes care of exactly what you just said. So, for example, last year I drove into the gorge in Gisborne, 8 a.m. About 4 o'clock I come out, no coverage from 8 till 4. My phone goes ding. It's
ding,
somebody
ding,
inquiring
ding.
About a guiding job. I quickly pull over and I say, just driving home. I've had no coverage all day. I will respond to you as soon as I get in the door.
Mm-hmm.
I get a reply within 10 seconds. Forget about it, mate. You're obviously too unprofessional to reply to me straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
So everything goes through my agent, Nans, now.
Uh-huh.
So she's on it straight away. She prepares everything. And every client I have speaks massive respect and speaks nothing but goodness mm-hmm. about Nans and her service.
So, and if somebody want to rent you, mm-hmm. where can find information about you?
So just Google Southern Latitude Guides.
Okay.
You can also come direct to me. But like I just said, I might not respond for 2 to 3 days, maybe five.
Yeah.
So don't get your knickers in a twist. I will get back to you. But if you're going direct to Nans, she'll be back. Seriously, you could message her around midnight and she will probably respond.
Once more, the name of this agency?
Southern Latitude Guides.
Southern Latitude Guides. Yeah. So, and there are the all names of these guides, and you can pick what you like, what present you like.
No, you can only pick me.
Okay, I understand.
No, of course. Mike has built a reputation as one of the best guides in the country.
Mm-hmm.
He runs a really professional ship, and he's pretty much booked well in advance, and he has regular clients that have been coming for up to 20 years.
Whew.
So, he doesn't really take on too many new clients.
And how you got together with Mike?
Yeah, so obviously you and I met through competition fly fishing. Competition fly fishing, one of the biggest aspects of that is Euro-nymphing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of the only guys, well, the only guide in New Zealand that Euro-nymphs.
You did it.
And I took Euro-nymphing into the backcountry, into places where people said, like this river we fished today,
mm-hmm.
people would say, you can't get close, you can't Euro-nymph that kind of river. And when I first started coming down here, people would say, you know, a lot of the other guides in the region and other fishermen, they're like, oh, that's not going to work down here. And it works incredible. Obviously, it didn't work too well today because we had a howling headwind.
Yeah, but for me, it's better when it doesn't work today.
Yeah.
Didn't work today. I enjoy it casting with fly line.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
me, it's...
And obviously, when they're on the dry fly and they're on the terrestrials, we want to cast dry flies.
Yeah. And... I think it's not secret.
Yeah.
What is your price for a day?
It ranges and it depends on what we're doing, if we're staying out overnight, but it's approximately $1,100 to $1,300.
And what does it including?
It includes all equipment, flies, my
so
knowledge.
So I can come with my flip-flops?
Yep, you can come with your flip-flops and your shorts.
And
everything
you
will be included, lunch as well. Obviously, if we're camping out somewhere like this and you are my client, then I would, like I did this morning, I cooked breakfast.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Providing lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
And good times.
For sure.
And I like to pass on to my clients a lot more of a sort of learning experience.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of guides that are just, and there's even a lot of clients that only want to just catch a fish and they just want, there's a fish, see, cast there. There's a fish, and you watch them cast there. But I really like to get immersed in with my client and work on making them better fishermen, even
uh-huh.
if it's just for one day, or whether they're here for, they may hire me for 3 days and then they go and do 2 more weeks in New Zealand. And if they can learn a whole range of
tactics,
different
yeah,
variety yeah, yeah. Of approach, how to approach a fish, how to cast, how to mend, which type of drifts
mm-hmm.
our fish here in New Zealand prefer, as you found out
yeah,
today.
It's totally different.
The way
yeah.
to play them, the way to land them, because
mm-hmm.
everybody works on casting and you know, companies run casting demonstration days and they go to a park somewhere and they all cast. But
yeah, for me today it was quite a big lesson because the fighting fish, it's totally different. You have huge fish over, I don't know, we are all the time saying centimeters, so
mm-hmm.
fish over 60 centimeters in pounds, it could be how much?
Oh,
today we caught.
Those last two we got tonight would have been 6.5 to 7.5 pounds.
Four. It's
yeah.
quite huge, and it's totally different approach, totally different landing, totally different running in the water. But but today it was so fun when I caught the first one. I'm really looking forward for your video which you took during the fight, and you commented.
I was running along going, any minute now he's gonna lose it because he's doing everything wrong.
Yeah, I was like running crazy, this and this and this. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But fortunately I landed and it was wonderful. So anyway, do you like this job? Oh, sorry.
I love this job.
You love this job.
But I haven't really even answered how I met Mike. So
yeah, sorry.
We are competitors. Euro Nymphing was quite a big aspect of my skill set.
Uh-huh.
And then Mike rang me up years ago because
he's
a guy that loves to grow and learn more. There's a lot that a closed shop, closed mind. And he found that the more this region got pressured, the fishery, the fish moved more into the heads of the pools and into slots or seams that had funny currents.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get a drift through those with a regular rig, indicator nymph or a dry nymph. And so Mike rang me, picked my brains, and we
went friends,
fishing together and we became good mates.
Yeah. So. Sounds good. So you said already that you love this job.
Yeah. I think about it the other day, because I think while I'm driving, and a lot of times I'm driving a long distance. So I was just thinking the other day, because I had a complete newbies that had never even touched a fishing rod, let alone a fly rod, just yesterday.
What do you think these people? Because it's quite tricky here.
Yeah, they see the photos,
and they said
they want to do it.
Yeah.
And
because photos.
Good on them. They want to try it, but
yeah, sure.
They do. I will say they do come with a bit of a misconception. They think it's going to probably be quite easy. You can hear them talking on the way to the river going, I'm going to looking forward to catching the biggest one of the day. And I'm kind of going, and of course I haven't seen their skill set. I haven't seen what they're doing, but they told me they've never been fishing, let alone fly fishing. So
okay.
I know the day will be difficult, but I take that on board as a challenge.
Uh-huh.
And I really try and put my own actions and my own fishing skills from here through my mind and my words into the client, and I use them. I'm like a puppet master, and I'm trying to just
RC controller.
Yeah, I'm trying to like work them around how I would fish, and when it works, and I get, say, a complete newbie or even an experienced fisherman to catch either the very first fish they've ever caught or the fish of a lifetime, that's a huge sense of satisfaction. And I feel really proud that people say, do you want to go fishing when you're guiding? I am fishing. I'm fishing through my
clients. And it's when you said it now, it's usual that you fish together with your clients.
Do I fish?
Yeah.
At the same time?
Yep.
Never.
Never.
No, never. Sometimes the clients might say, we want to see you, and I always say no. But if they keep asking, that some people are visual learners.
Yep.
You know, some people like, words to learn, and others like visual learning. If that is the case, I will never fish the good water or the clear water. But anything that they have already fished and got maybe 300 times cast into this water, I will walk back down and just show them some stuff. Because if I put a cast into some fresh water, the chances of getting a fish are probably, and it may be the best fish of
the
day.
Yeah.
So I don't.
It can be a sad moment for clients.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you said you love it because I asked, I did also interview with Martin Drosch, who is guiding, who is guiding in a Maina in Tasmania, and he said to me that for him it's the most stressful job ever, because he has such a sense of responsibility that he wants to bring the fish to the client.
Yeah.
And in Tasmania is maybe even more tougher than here, in some windy days or no sun and like this, and the different lakes, different rivers. And he said for him, it's just choose one lake on which the next day is going with the client is the most stressful thing.
I will say that part of it is stressful. I'll often, especially if we have weather coming in, like heavy rain, and I might have some, like as example here, I might have a complete newbie, someone's never fly fished before, and maybe they're older, so I can only take them to this stream or this river because they can't access.
Okay.
There will be other rivers that are clear, even in heavy rain, but you cannot take somebody that's old that's never fly fished before because it is technically hard. So I'll be awake all night and I'll be refreshing the river flow charts.
Ooh.
And I'm like, and I say to my wife, I'm like, oh my God, it's just blowing out. Oh, not again. And because we've just had, in my region up north, we just had 2 years of heavy rain.
Mm-hmm.
This time last year, we had a cyclone totally devastate the region.
So it's kind of sort of
planning and the weather and planning, that can be a little stressful. But when you're on the river and you're in the right place, that's if you get to the right place. And if you're not perhaps in the right place on that particular day,
I just control it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
Then you just make do with what you got. You do the best that you can do.
Mm-hmm. And what about some complicated clients? Did you have any?
I've had some really complicated clients. Yeah.
For example, me today. But I am bro.
Old mate here shows up with a 5-weight and lines it with a 3-weight line. But didn't realize till mid-morning after some pretty average casting.
But after I changed it, then it was better.
Yeah,
anyway, yeah. So some complicated clients. Do you remember some stories?
Oh, absolutely. But you know, I'm going to be the professional guy here and leave those stories in the hills. But yeah, it's just humans, really.
Yeah.
We can't all be the same.
And happens sometimes that you are going with your clients blank from the border?
I've never had a blank day.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yesterday was almost a blank day and I finish at 5, and at 3 to 5,
ooh,
the lady hooked up on a dry fly.
Ah.
She had plenty of chances. The clients always have some chances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I admire that you are professional and you don't want to say some bad stories.
Yeah.
But some funny stories you can say, tell us. So.
Well, we had one guy last year and I nicknamed him the Stump Puller.
Stump Puller.
Stump Puller. So he struck so hard and I ended up having to go up to 2X because, and I was expecting no fish to eat, but we had a bit of rain. There was a little bit of color in the water, and he's double hand and just going and throwing his whole body, and it would just be, the fish would jump and go snap. So I nicknamed him the Stump Puller. So you have a stump, right? You cut a tree down, you have a stump in the ground. People will get their car and they'll put a tow rope around it and try and take off and pull the stump out. That was this guy's strike.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And
he ended up loving the name and he called himself the Stump Puller.
So it's official nickname now.
Yeah.
So and how many days are you guiding per year?
Probably about 70.
70?
Yeah, 70 or 80 days.
So and the whole season is how many months? 7, 8?
Probably more like 5, really.
Five?
Yeah, five or six. I do guide a little bit through winter in Taupo, but the peak season is
right
late November, sort of start of December till March. That's the peak.
4 months.
Yep.
So 4 months times 30,
mm-hmm,
it's 120 days. So, and the main target in these days, guiding.
Yep.
So, and what are you doing during off-season?
Fishing myself.
Where? It's open? It's closed?
Wherever it's open.
Yeah. It's open all season or is all year around here?
Last year, around here, no. This region that we're in right now, the secret region, it closes in April. So that's when I'll head back north.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be guiding May, June.
Mm-hmm.
And because the Gisborne region and most of the North Island is still open till the end of June. And last year we had such a mild winter that I could fish, and we can fish certain rivers low down towards the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And I had mayfly hatches for 6 hours every day in the middle of winter, June, July, August, even into September. And the river was super low, and I was just catching dry fly all day long. It was incredible.
And how it looks when it's winter in Gizzy on your, you call it East Cape?
Yeah.
How it looks when it's winter? I mean, degrees, no snow?
Oh, no, we get, every 3 years we get a little snow dump. Temperature-wise, it's in the middle of winter. A cold day would be 6 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
It can get -1 okay. in the hills, but in the town, 3 or 4 degrees is the coldest day, usually like 13 or 14.
Hmm. So 70 days you are guiding, mm-hmm. and how many on South Island and how many on North Island? Half-half or more here?
Yeah, so I'm probably going to clock way more than 60, 70 days this year. Yeah, because I've already done like 40 days in the North Island, and now I have 41 days here in the South. Ooh. And then I would have still some more when I go back.
And do you have clients who are coming again and
yeah,
again?
Yeah, I have regulars. Guys I had last year have come back. I have a few regulars that consistently come all the time because they want to learn. They're just not taking a guided experience. They're actually employing me to teach them how to fly fish better.
Okay.
And some of them are older guys that have retired and they want to do something. And
yeah.
They've chosen fly fishing and
started to learn.
They don't want to. They've been going to the river for so long and spending so much time and effort and going into all the fly fishing shops, and those shops go, oh, you must have this rod, you must have that, or you're not going to catch anything. So they just keep buying new gear. And
no fishing.
There's one client I have, he has so many, I'm not going to name the names, but so many expensive reels, like $1,500 reels, and he's got like 4 or 5 of them.
Yeah.
And he had to have them according to the shop staff. These are the best, you need to have them, you'll catch more fish. And then he was going to the river and not catching anything. So he reached out to me, and he's doing 2 days every single month for a whole year.
Yeah, but it's funny. When I was in Victoria in Australia, I spoke with Tom German, and he said to me that he's cooperating with Fly Life, this mm-hmm. Magazine, and they had such a survey. Can I say it? They are asking
yeah.
people
yeah.
how many days they are fishing.
Yeah,
and for you, it's tens, maybe 150 per year.
Yeah.
If you are including also guiding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it could be like this.
Oh, yeah. See, last year when I had a really busy season guiding and then prepared for the World Championship and then went to the World Championship, I would have done 270, 280 days last year.
Yeah, yeah. For me, it used to be also over 150 per year. Now it's about 80, 100. But the people are answered to this survey that over 80%, if I remember the correctly, over 80% fish 2-3 days per year.
Yeah, yeah, that would be correct.
And the people are the most...
Mm-hmm.
The most full of money, and yeah. they are spending such a large amount of for equipment.
Yeah.
So it's according to what you said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 No, I believe that stat, because you even talk to guys around the region and they'll be like, oh, have you been out this season? I'm like, it's like December, dude. I've done 70 days already.
And what about the spectrum of the nationality who came to your service?
The most, it's changing a little bit
after this disease. Yeah, I know
more Europeans.
More Europeans.
Bit, yeah, more Australians have always come, but more and more Australians. Australians are kind of really self-sufficient culture, uh-huh. and they come to New Zealand and kind of work out the fisheries themselves, and mm-hmm. some guys might spend 2 or 3 weeks, and then, you know.
Yeah.
But now there's a lot more people that are actually going, like, acknowledging and taking it on the chin and not being so, you know, mm-hmm. proud to say, I need help. And so they're reaching out and they're like, you know what, I went to this river and I spent 5 days there and I got one fish. I need your help. And so that's kind of the type of clientele that I've been really starting to pick up more of.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly Americans. So, yeah, like anywhere in the world, most of the fishing lodges are American clientele, American owned. It's a huge market over there, but definitely more Europeans.
Okay. And if you said that Americans are coming, or Australians are coming very often, so I mean the reason is because it's so close.
Well, they call it the West Island.
West. Yeah.
And the reality is, it's for a lot on the East Coast, 3 hour flight.
Yeah, sure.
For them to go to their West Coast, to go to Perth, it's, I think it's 5 or 6, 7 hours flight. So, yeah.
Sure, I flew from Melbourne. It was, I think, 3.5 hours to Christchurch. Yeah. Anyway, so what other question I should ask? I think, do you want something more tell about this?
Oh, look, you know, the whole podcast interview is about guiding, right? Yeah, so, yeah, I really enjoy interacting with my clients. I enjoy being in places like this.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Yeah. And, even my wife jokes that I'm like, I got 30 days of work coming up. She goes, that's not work. But I'll tell you what, there are times...
If you get money from this, it's work.
Yeah, but there are times where I have certain clients that I actually have to physically carry all day long.
Uh-huh.
Like, along all these riverbanks, I will be carrying them, like, with their arm over my shoulder.
Yeah, but today we...
Crossing.
Yeah, we went, I think, over 15 kilometers at least. Yeah,
I wouldn't do anything crazy like that.
Yeah.
But if you didn't do that K's, you wouldn't have got that fish down there, right?
Yeah. I'm happy that you... Yeah.
And said you wanted to come back for a sleep. And I told you could sleep on the flight back home.
It's true. And I got it. I think, the nicest fish I ever caught. Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
So if I can deliver something like that, you're my bro, but let's say you're my client today. If I could deliver a moment like that,
yeah, but
that's
I'm
pretty awesome.
Kind of celebration, man.
Yeah,
I love it. Okay, Corey, thank you very much for this short interview. One more question: is there any fight between guides?
Yeah, there is. It's not. Yeah, I'm sure there's been fights.
Yeah.
More so what we call jumping.
What does it mean?
When we decided to fish here this morning, and if we went up the river, and they jumped. Somebody crashed through the bush and jumped in front of us.
Okay.
And there are certain guides out there. You were going to ask me, and I'll touch on that in a minute, but about the legalities of it and everything.
Uh-huh.
If another guide is jumping another guide, that can, depending on the mindset and the nature of those two, that can be fireworks.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because it's really unethical.
Yep.
Fish and Game are doing a good job of placing signs and
this is another question. Yeah, more questions. Here is a sign, mm-hmm. Angler's access.
Yep.
So, and you should park on this sign.
That's what they're trying to, like, years ago. There's a perfectly good access just up here as well, right? That driveway down to that gravel driveway down to the river. But what they're really trying to promote is park at the access. Then you have from that sign to that next sign where that other
kind of pool.
White car was, and that's your beat.
Yeah, kind of beat, yeah.
If you want to be a dick about it and you go straight down that gravel, then you've just destroyed someone else's day, and that can lead to guide versus guide beef.
Yeah, for me it's totally new information, this.
Yeah.
Because on North Island I don't have such experience.
You've got way less pressure on the fisheries in the North Island. A lot of the places that you've been to, you were probably the only fisherman on the river that day.
Yeah.
But there will still, if I'm parked here, even in the North Island, if I'm parked here and there's no access signs, there's no fishing game signs, if my car's there, and I'll always ride on it as well, in the dust on the back of the car, fishing upstream.
Yeah.
Or downstream.
Just let the people know. Yeah,
and I have some little signs as well. So if anyone pulls up, they know.
Mm-hmm.
I would expect, depending on the type of river, somebody to give me 3 kilometers of river, not just go around the very next bend and go fishing in front of me. Yeah, so that's just how, or come and talk and have a chat, because sometimes if I'm guiding, I may have an elderly client and some of them may only do 80 or 100 meters in a whole day.
Yeah, sure.
And I don't mind if someone wants to even come and talk to me, and I'll say, just go and fish up there because we're not going to get
up there. We will stay on this pool.
But so just be open-minded.
And another question I forgot. I saw on your back car there is sticker about guiding.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be in some association?
You don't have to be a registered guide in New Zealand. I am, because I believe it's the right thing to do.
So what does it mean that you don't have to be? You can guide
You can guide without being a member of, without being a member of the Guides Association. I believe that in the next couple of years it will become
a regulation.
Yeah. Okay. And the sooner the better, because the Guides Association your guides have to sit like exams and go through things. They've got a health and safety plan.
Yep.
We've got public liability insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And the world's changed massively. Like 15 years ago, if you were out with a client, or in the New Zealand culture, the Kiwi culture, you would hear of things in America like, I'll sue you. Uh-huh. And everything was sue, sue, sue if something went wrong. And here in New Zealand, we thought that was just crazy. We're like, how's these guys?
Yeah.
Somebody trips over the carpet on the front door and they're suing them. They go to step out of the car and they roll their ankle on a rock and they sue the person. It's like, that's just crazy talk. But it's getting like that here now.
Here?
Yeah. So if anything happens, somebody's could be liable. It depends on your client. But if you had a problematic client that felt that you were in the wrong,
mm-hmm.
they could actually legally
help
do
you.
Something.
Yeah.
So the more that we are licensed, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, we have, through being a member of the Guides Association, we have a concession to guide on Department of Conservation land.
Okay.
So as you know, up where I live in Gisborne, there's not much conservation land. It's all either private farmland,
mm-hmm.
or it's owned by the local iwis, which are the Māori tribes. Down here in the South Island, nearly everything is on Department of Conservation. So right where we are now is Department of Conservation land. So just not anyone can come and guide here. They could, but if they get caught by DOC, if a DOC ranger comes up and says, are you guiding, and it looks like you're guiding, they could...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they could be fined or prosecuted.
And the very last question about licenses, because it's slightly changed now in comparison with the last years, because when I was here last year, it was just 2 different licenses, one for whole New Zealand and another for Taupo region. Now it's different.
So there's just been a new addition just this season. And it's not actually new, because for the last sort of 15 years it's been there, and it was called the backcountry license, backcountry endorsement. But it didn't cost money and there was no restrictions on it. So if you wanted to come here today, last year, you would have just bought your license and ticked
the place,
the region that you were going to visit. Then we received so much pressure in the last sort of, it's been building up. The whole South Island's been so heavily pressured by international anglers that the general feeling was from residents and Kiwis, anglers, was they couldn't get to fish on their own rivers. They might go to work all week and then come the weekend, they want to just go fishing. And there's 40 people fighting and jostling over.
It was so bad?
Yeah, yeah. 5 or 6 beats on some rivers. Like some of the ones in the Southland, you will have people camping at the access for the night, and that's a no-no. But they were doing it, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and how it's now, the prices?
So now, so the backcountry license wilderness areas have been, have sort of transformed into something called the designated waters. This is a designated water. So as a resident, a Kiwi that lives here, I still have to pay, but I can fish as many times as I want here in the season.
So you have to pay the same price like
no,
me?
No, it's cheaper.
It's cheaper. Yeah.
You have to pay per day, being a non-resident. 60? And you can only fish 5 days in each region. So we have, and let's use South Island as an example. So the region is Nelson, Marlborough, Canterbury,
Canterbury, yeah.
Central Otago, and Southland, and Westland.
So this is 5, 6.
West Coast, I think it's called. Yeah, West Coast.
So I can fish 5 times 5 days.
So if you were touring around, you could fish 5 times 5 in those premier, they're the blue ribbon waters. In the States, in the US, they call them blue ribbon. There's a blue ribbon water. So that's basically what it is here. It's just to stop the waters getting pressured. So if we rewind the clock back 2018, 2019, pre-COVID, there was huge problems on this river and a lot of the others in this region here, where you would get what have been nicknamed throughout the world trout bums. And they fly into New Zealand, they buy a $4,000 Mitsubishi van, they put a bed in the back, and they just sleep here for 2 weeks and fish up and down here for 2 weeks, kill the fish, eat noodles, and yeah, they don't, what they're doing is they're dominating the water, they're not moving on. If they did 2 days here and they went somewhere else, not a problem. But when they just camp in the one spot and no one else gets a chance to fish, that just became, that's where all the problems started. And so this is a way to get rid of that.
Okay.
Whether some people, like we didn't get checked today by any rangers, but the fishing rangers have the power to inform immigration. They can take your license off you, so you can't carry on fishing at all in New Zealand that season if you didn't buy the license for here today. So it's a gamble, but
and
maybe some are taking the gamble.
And how many times per year are you checked with a ranger?
In this region, a couple of times, three or four times a year, but where I come from, zero.
In our country also. But anyway, for this... license is really good that you can buy it really easily on online.
Bit different than Slovakia. Driving across the mountains to a pizza shop.
Pizza shop and a pension and a fishing shop, and in our country it's even more. I always are talking about this because it's so complicated and we are like in a 19th century, not 21st. And it was so easy when it's reception coverage, you can buy a license. Yesterday I buy it down there because there is 4G. Easy.
The biggest drawback, I think, that there could be, the biggest issue that the system that they have currently in place is, yesterday you had to buy the license for today because there's no coverage here. And there's a lot of places like that with no coverage. And also you're usually planning to go in the day before, so you bought your license for today. If we got here this morning and it was heavy rain and it was all chocolate mud, that's one of your days used. You and paid the money and you used one of your 5 days and you didn't get to fish.
And you don't get any money back?
No. Then the other scenario is, this is quite a busy river, and it's Waitangi Day. It's a public holiday. We could have got here this morning. There would have been somebody here. There was already someone up the hill. Oh. There's fresh footprints in that other beat down there. So there was someone there this morning. And if there was two or three more, and they were here earlier than us, you wouldn't be able to fish.
Yeah.
And that's one of your days used. So that is one of the issues that it's
kind of Russia roulette.
Yeah, I think that could end up being a tripping point, because people are spending so much money coming here, then they're spending money to get the license, and if you get there and you can't fish, you've probably got a valid point that, give me my money back.
Yeah.
Or at least give me my day back,
yeah,
so
day
I can
back.
Use
yeah,
it somewhere
yeah,
else.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Yeah, it should be.
But how do you prove that?
Yeah, about weather and about chocolate, you can, but if there is so many people,
yeah,
you can't prove it. Yeah. Anyway, tomorrow we are fishing together. I'm really looking forward. And the day after, you have clients.
Yeah.
And from where, you already know?
Yeah, they're guys from Auckland.
Guys from Auckland.
Yeah, two days.
Okay. Corey, thank you very much for your time, for your interview. I enjoyed it. The day was great. Maybe some of my questions are a little bit dumb because I am so tired.
Yeah, I'm shattered too. I'm sitting here going like that.
Yeah, but it was a wonderful day. Thank you very much. See you.
Great to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you.